maybe not as frigid as tomorrow night will be, but a frigid night nonetheless. And when I planned the shiur, I didn't realize it was a fast day today. I didn't realize until like Monday or Tuesday of this week that it was a fast day, and the shiur was scheduled on a fast day, which is tricky because usually after you eat, you can't really move, you don't want to get out. So we're here. I didn't want to cancel it, so I appreciate everyone who came out tonight to come out to learn. For Arcady, this is like a hot summer night. Go for a leisurely stroll afterwards. Tonight's topic is Nefilas Apayim Tachanun. This really should be broken down into three parts. We'll see. We'll see what we get through tonight. And I would like to focus primarily on two aspects. This halakha that people are aware of about not doing the Nefilas Apayim when there's no Sefer Torah. Perhaps we've heard that at an office mincha in a house where there's no Aron Kodesh, no Sefer Torah. Usually people say Tachanun, but don't do the Nefilas Apayim. And then to focus on what are we trying to accomplish, which has been the theme of a lot of our shiurim. What are we trying to accomplish when we bury our... I joked in the email about Cam Newton and the dab. I think that the Nefilas Apayim came before Cam Newton and the dab, I think. But to try to understand a little bit what it's about and what we're supposed to take from it. I want to start with a really crazy story. There was a great Hasidic master, from Tzvi Hirschmi Zitichov, the Zitichover. He was probably from Zitichov. He was the Rebbe of the Bnei Yisachar, another great Hasidic masters. If you take a look in source one, I like to read it, because if I said it, you probably wouldn't believe it. And ask your local Orthodox rabbi before you follow his practice. It says the Chassidim misaprim al Rav Hakadosh from Tzvi Hirschmi Zitichov, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, ki lo haya noeg lomar tachanun be'erev Shabbos Kodesh b'yom Rishon. He didn't say tachanun on Friday or Sunday. Now, if he was smart, he would not say tachanun on Monday and Thursday. But like, you know, today tachanun was rough after Shlichos and Avinu Malkeinu, and then a full tachanun. He didn't say Tachanun on Fridays and Sundays. Why not? Vehitim v'amar, and he explained his reason by saying, Shelagodel kedushas inyan nefilas apayim, because of the great holiness and sanctity of nefilas apayim, zakaku lahachin nafsho l'kach yom echad kodum l'chein. He needs a full day to prepare for nefilas apayim. The kevan shodeh ba'atzmo, Shabbos Kodesh, ain hu misuga l'hachin atzmo. Shabbos, it's not going to happen. He's not going to be able to properly prepare a full day of Shabbos for Nefilas Apayim. So l'chein nimno milomar tachanun b'yom Rishon. He didn't say tachanun, because if he can't do the hachana, by a lot of the Chassidish Svarim, the hachana sometimes even more important than the mitzvah itself, he couldn't do the hachana on Shabbos, so he didn't say tachanun on Sunday.
Is that the morning or the mincha also?
Sounds like the whole day. I don't know.
Because he could have prepared all Sunday then.
Right.
How much time does he need to prepare?
I don't know. Uberev Shabbos Kodesh Nimdo Mikach. This is really wild. On Friday, he didn't say Tachnun. Shemitoch Shehikir Bimin Hago Lomer Esa Tachnun Bekavana Gedola Ubemesiris Nefesh Gemura. Because he knew himself that he said Tachnun with such a tremendous Kavana, and with Mesiris Nefesh, like the Zohar says, Chashash Shema Teitzei Nafsho Atahora Mitocha Mir Satachnun. He was worried he was going to die. He was going to be so into Tachnun that he was going to pass away. Umishum Kach Yitztarchu Anch Ishlomo L'Truch B'Tzarchi K'vrasu B'Erev Shabbos. If he's going to die on Friday, people are going to be busy burying him on a Friday. V'yimnu me'onek Shabbos, and it would ruin their Shabbos. So I don't know, if he died on Tuesday, so that didn't concern him? I don't know. I don't know what to make of this, but this is not... This is the Zitichover was literally a major figure in the movement, and he didn't say Tachanun on Friday and Sunday for those two reasons. Now, you see, which I don't... We'll try to understand... There is something very powerful and very strong about Tachanun, which I can't understand the degree that he took it, that he wouldn't say tachlin because he was scared he was going to die, or he needed a full day hachana, and with the absence of that hachana, he wouldn't say tachlin. We've seen a song about tachlin. Let's try to understand that a little bit. There's a Gemara Bava Metzia. It's a relatively well-known Gemara with Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Lazar, sorry, and Rabbi Gamliel. The famous Gemara of Lo Bashamayimi. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Gamliel, what happened? There's a big machlokas in the Beis Medrash about this oven, the Tanur Shel Achnai. It was this oven, without getting into all the nitty-gritty details in Halacha, it was this oven that had sections, and the way they kept it together was through this like sand, they cemented it with sand, and that's how they kept it together. And the question is that susceptible to Tumah or not? An oven that sticks together because it's baked is not Makabel Tumah. Is this Makabel Tumah or is this not Makabel Tumah? Usually it is Makabel Tumah. Here, since it's cement from sand, it's from the ground, maybe it's not Makabel Tumah. There's a whole Machlokas, and Rabbi Eliezer was Mako. Rabbi Eliezer said that it's not Makabel Tumah. And they had a big fight in the Beis Medrash. And the Gemara says that Rabbi Eliezer said, I have lots of proofs. And he said, finally, if the halacha is like me, so this tree should be uprooted. And sure enough, what happened? Nek archar bimakom mea ama. The tree flew either 100 amas or 400 amas. Wow. So they said to him, you don't bring your proof from a tree. That's not how he passed in halacha. So he said, let the body of water prove it. It would start to flow backwards. Again, you don't bring a proof. I don't care how many miracles you have done for you, that doesn't show that you're right. And on and on and on. And there was proof after proof. And finally, Rabbi Yeshua gets up and he says, Lo Bashmayim. It's not Bashmayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah to be decided in this place. And the rule is Yachid V'Rabim, Halacha K'Rabim, Achirabim L'Hathos. We follow the majority. And therefore, the Chachamim's position is to be followed and not Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara says that they put Rabbi Eliezer in Chirim. And the Mefarshim explained it because he was so adamant about his position and he wouldn't act or change his ruling in deference to the majority that he was put in Chirim. That's the Gemara in a nutshell. In the end of the Gemara, if you take a look in source 2, four lines from the bottom, the Gemara says, Ima Shalom debisu de Rabbi Eliezer. Ima Shalom was the wife of Rabbi Eliezer. Achte de Rabbi Gamliel Havai. She was the sister of Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel was the one who put her husband, which was his brother-in-law, into Chirim. So Mehu Maisa Ve'elech, from that day and on, Lo Avashavke Lei L'Rabbi Eliezer L'Meipo Alape. She wouldn't let her husband say Tachlin. She wouldn't let her husband do Nefilas Apayim. Hahu Yoma Reish Yarchahava. One day, it was Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh, we don't say Tachlin. Ich Lefla Bein Malei L'Chaser. She made a mistake, and she thought it was a Chodesh Chaser, and it wasn't a Chodesh Malei, and therefore it wasn't Rosh Chodesh. So she did Tachnun. So he said Tachnun. Ika de Amri, Asa, Anya, V'kaya, Baba, a poor person came to the door, Afike le Rifta, he brought out bread, Ashkachte de Nafalape, and when she came out, she saw that he was doing Tachnun. He was doing the Filas Apayim. Amrale, Kum, get up, Katlisa Lacha, you killed my brother. Kill my brother. Gemara says, Ad hachi nafik shipur v'mesik amuyal d'shachim. It was known, an email was sent out or whatever, that Rabbi Gamliel had passed away. So, the Aruch HaShulchan said, you see two things from the Gemara. Number one, tachnun is only rishus. Just like by Meir, there's a machloka as tefilas arvis rishus or tefilas arvis chova. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, it's really a tshuva, the Rivash. You see from this Gemara that Tfilas Arv is Rishus. So that Tachnun is Rishus. If Tachnun was obligatory, how can she keep, the wife of Rabbi Eliezer is not convincing her husband not to do Tfilas Apayim? So you see it's a Rishus. And more than that, says the Aruch HaShulchan, source 3, 5 lines down, the Gam Matzina B'Gemara, the Im Kihi Rishus, even though it's optional, Mikol makom inyana gadol meod. It's very great. Umina shemayim mimarim la'anos on the tefillah sepayim. In shemayim, they're very quick to answer a tefillah done in the tefillah sepayim. She was so worried that Rabbi, her husband, Eliezer, was so broken from the fact that he was put in cherem, and cherem is a serious thing, that his tefillah would resonate in shemayim and would literally storm the heavens and things would happen, so she wouldn't let him do tachon. So you see from the Gemara, one, tachon's only rishus, and number two, the koach of tachon is so great that the tfilos are answered more quickly. The Rivas says that's why you find a lot of minhagim about tachon. We're very quick to knock off tachon, by the chassidim especially. They never say tachon. It's the Rebbe's uncle's sister-in-law's father's yurtzeit. I'm not poking fun. If you've ever davened in a shtibol, I bet you didn't say tachanun. It's almost never tachanun. What?
2 days a year
they say it. Yom Atzmaut and Yom Yerushalayim. Nabuch. Okay.
I was in Sfar Shul once in Borough Park. I forgot it was Yom Atzmaut. And all of a sudden I hear these chassidim that they're saying tachanun, which is tremendous kavanah. So what's going on? And I realized it's because of them. I said,
oh. Right. Okay, so we all in the news. Fight breaks out, and okay. So tefillah is talking under rishus, and you see its importance, which we'll try to understand a little bit, is great. So that really sets that's the stage for nefilas apayim. There's halacha. Beis Yosef quotes on page 2 in source 5. He's quoting from a rokeach in source 5. The custom of a rokeach: a noflin el ifnei sefer Torah. You don't do nefilas apayim unless there's a sefer Torah. Why should that be? The siman ladavar, there is some kind of proof. Tichsib b'molchemas ha'ay. It says in that battle in Yeshua Parak Zion, v'yipol alpan of arza lifnei aron Hashem. He fell on his face, nefilas apayim, lifnei aron Hashem. Presumably, the Rukach is saying that you see that Nefilas Apayim is only Lefnei Aron Hashem. And says the Beis Yosef, Vani Omer, in Kabbalah, Nikabel. If there's some tradition, if there's some Mesorah for this, I accept it. The Imla Din, if you tell me this is like a halacha that you're making up, Yesh Tshuva, there are problems, there are questions, there's responses to this Din.
I want to mention that I got in the show, Memphis, Baron Hirsch, in the side room, and there were didn't do this apayim, and I asked them why. And actually, there's a base vendors in another room where they have a separate minyan, and they said, it covers both rooms.
The Aruch HaShulchan is going to say.
In the last month, in Ohel Yitzchak, and they dabbed it in the side room, and they also.
Good. So you have
the whole building. The argument is that the Aruch HaShulchan is the whole building.
Good. You have 2 out of the 6 exceptions to the rule. You just hit. So that's the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef is the problem. What's the Beis Yosef's problem with this pshat? Why does he say im ladin yesh tshuva? What's the? Jordan, can you pass the sheet back to near. What's the problem? Why is that not a good source? What's the problem with that being the source? Why does the Beis Yosef? Why is he reluctant to hold on to this rokeach? In fact, Svardim will always do nefilas apayim even if there's no sefer Torah, because the Shulchan Aruch doesn't pass in this way. It's a Ramah. The Beis Yosef says in Kabbalah and Kabbalah, v'im ladin yesh tshuva. What's the problem with that? So the Taz says in with the Pilegesh Begiva, it says vayivchu vayashuvu lifnei Hashem. They cried and they did tshuva lifnei Hashem. So what are you going to say? You can only cry and do tshuva if there's an Aruch Kodesh? No. So just because the Pasuk says that there happens to be there was an Aron there, why does the fact that there was an Aron there tell you that you could only do it if there's an Aron? I don't know, Yeshua was wearing a blue shirt. He's probably wearing a white shirt, right? I don't know. He was wearing, and it was a Tuesday, so you only do Tachanun on a Tuesday? The fact that there was an Aron there, that's not fundamental to the fact that he didn't feel supine, but just there was an Aron Kodesh there. So what? Every time it says Lefnei Hashem, you're going to limit that Indian, that mitzvah, to an Aron Kodesh? Presumably not. The Aruch HaShulchan explains differently. The Aruch HaShulchan says that's not even the source for Tachanun. We're going to see later, the source of Tachanun is by Moshe and Aaron, by Yisnaplu, they fell on their face when they davened. So the Pasuk by Yeshua is not the Makor, is not the source for Tachanun. So who cares that over then? That's the Beis Yosef's problem with that source. Its source is a very difficult sort. Yet, in source 9, the Shulchan Aruch does not mention it. The Ramah, in source 9, says, Yesh Omrim, De'ei Nefilas Apayim, El B'makam Sheis Aron, this Sefer Torah B'socho. You need an Aron Kodesh with a Torah in it. Aval below Zeh, Omrim T'china, below Kisui Panim V'chein Nogin. If there's no Aron with the Sefer Torah in it, then you say Tachnun, but without Kisui Panim. In source 10, it's brought down there of Salvechik, whenever he did Tachanun, even if there was no Sefer Torah, he did Nefilas Apayim. So maybe in Baron Hirsch, or maybe in Yerushalayim, the Halakha of Salvechik. There are going to be other kulas also, but presumably, it doesn't explain why, presumably, this din, this source, is a very shaky source. The Beis Yosef himself says in the din, Yesh Tshuva, just because there was an Aron Kodesh. It's a very funny dinner of Salvechik, didn't hold of that Ramah. So we'll go through a little bit outside. Spend a lot of time making the sheet. But we'll go through outside. There's 6 potential exceptions or ways to mitigate that din. Yeah? Yeah, we're going to get there. The end of source 9 are some of the exceptions. So first, there's a big machlokes. Do Svarim count? The Eliyahu Rabba says that Svarim have a din of a Sefer Torah. And if you have Svarim in the house, Svarim in the room, then even if there's no Aron in Sefer Torah, you can do Nefilas Apayim. They point out there are 2 problems with that. Number one, the Pasuk, which is the source, says Aron. So, it doesn't say, if you're using that as a source, that says Aron, so it says Aron, it doesn't say Svarim. Second of all, and this, what?
That doesn't say Sefer Torah either.
Well, what was in the Aron? Which is what we, which was our Torah. Okay. And also he says, every house is a mezuzah. So if you're going to say Svarim count, so then everywhere in the world, you're going to have, well, maybe not everywhere in the world, if you're in a hospital room, but in a regular house, you have a mezuzah. It's not really true though, because I can hear there's no mezuzah in this room now, right? Mezuzah on the outside. So, yeah, I don't know. But that was, here we have a Sefer Torah, but not every room in every house has a mezuzah. But that's one in the Mishnah Berurah brings down as machlokas and doesn't paskin. What you were referencing is in source 13, is the Aruch HaShulchan based on the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch in source 9 had said that Chatzer Beis HaKnesses HaPasuach LeBeis HaKnesses, a courtyard which opens to a shul, you can still say Tachanun with Nefilas Apayim. The Aruch HaShulchan says small rooms that surround the Beis HaKnesses have a din of a Beis HaKnesses. And I remember when I was in YU, I don't remember at which stage, whose shir I was in, but we used to down mincha after shir. Our shir was 1 o'clock to 2:30. We used to down mincha in the classroom at 2:30, and they told us to do tachanun with Nefilas Apayim because they were the side classrooms which surrounded the Beis Medrash. Right, which is usually, I think. What?
It wasn't because of the rav's.
Oh, maybe it was because of the rav's plug. Anyways, yeah, that's a good point. But they don't keep every. They're rubbing a lot of the chumras, a lot of kulas. That I think. I don't know. They kept every. That's a good point though. Maybe also because of svarim. So you put the two kulas together. Rav Moshe has a very interesting tshuva. Let's say you have an Aron Kodesh, which doesn't lock properly, and you're worried about a Torah being stolen. So you don't keep the Torah in the Aron. You keep the Torah in a locked closet. Now, I haven't seen a shul like that, but I could see 40, 50 years ago, you know, now we have fancy alarm codes and systems. Maybe, I don't know if that's a new thing or not. But if you had, there were apparently there was a shul where they had an Aron Kodesh. I guess Shabbos davening or Monday, Thursday davening, they kept it in there. But when they left shul at the end of the day, they locked it up in another closet. Maybe they hid it.
I can't think of which one it was, but they do that every let's say Shabbos. They take all the Sefer Torah out.
You've seen that?
Yes.
Wow.
Can't think of the which shul it was. They're safe.
Yes. See, I never understood people stealing Torahs. Like, how do you? You just.
Worth a lot of money.
We thought about
no, I understand. You thought stealing the Torah? No.
They had water leaks in the Aron Kodesh.
Right. So again, that could happen. He's talking about it being stolen. But I just never understood if they steal a Torah. Like, you walk into like a sofa, like, hey, I got a Torah. You want to buy it? Where'd you get it from? And I inherited it. It's going to be hard to, like, with a straight face, convince like a sofa that you just randomly, you know, you don't find a Torah in the street. Right? Most people don't. I don't know. Whatever, that's not the point of this year. I guess if you're really good, you could, I don't know. But so Ramosha says, in that case, you could still do Nefilas HaPaim. You have a Torah and you have an Aron. It doesn't mean the Torah has to literally be in the Aron. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, even if it's in a different room, it doesn't have to be in the room. If you have an Aron Kodesh and you keep the Torah, but when it's not Monday and Thursday, you don't keep the Torah there. So that also... that you can still do the field spam. And I think the reason they're going to be very make on a lot of these cases is because the whole source for this din is very shaky, and Sfarim didn't hold of it, and we serve salvation didn't hold of it. And even the whole makor, because it says by Yeshua, Lifnei Aron Hashem, it's a shaky source, so we're going to be more lenient. I saw in source 16 on page 4, the Rivos Ephraim was Ephraim Greenblatt of Memphis. He quotes Rav Chaim Kanievsky, who said, let's say you have a Sefer Torah that's puzzle. Let's say you have an Aron Kodesh, and in that Aron Kodesh you keep a Sefer Torah that's puzzle. So he says also, there are shitas, b'diavad, I didn't know this, that you could read from a Sefer Torah that's puzzle. I didn't know there was such a shita. Anyone here was aware of that? Chaim Kanievsky says that since b'diavad, there are some who are mekel, that a Sefer Torah that's puzzle is kosher l'kriya, and maybe it's no worse than other svarim, so it's worse than a Gemara.
I would think that's lichachilui you can, but b'diavad you can't. Like you're reading from the Torah, and now it's the only Torah you have, and then you see it's possible. But
I thought in such a case you can't make a bracha on that. That's what I thought. I don't
put it away right away.
Right, but he's saying, let's say it's the only. I was once told of a bar mitzvah, and they passed the Torah, like Nebuch, the bar mitzvah had his whole parsha. Can you imagine this as a bar mitzvah teacher? What do? They apostle the Torah. Imagine having to be like the rabbi at that bar mitzvah who says it's puzzle. Like, you know, throw the candy bags at you right then and there. And that poor bar mitzvah, so they finished laning. I don't remember if they said the brachas or not. I didn't know. Apparently there is a shita. Which
and
is...
And there was no second Sefer Torah, I guess, to pull out.
Yeah, it's at a weekend bar mitzvah. They usually
right.
You bring...
Just have to write until they got.
You're going to start bringing two Sefer Torah weekend bar mitzvahs now. I don't know. So anyway, so that's the psak of Rabbi Chaim and Mr. Berg. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman says that in Yerushalayim, in the old city, even if there's no Torah, you could always do nefil sepaim.
Yerushalayim.
He says Yerushalayim, but he says ach nirus rak bein achomot, which I'm assuming means in the old city, right?
Is there something wrong with doing it even if there's no Torah?
You're saying, why not?
What's inherently wrong with doing the Nefilas HaPaim?
Can you do Nefilas HaPaim during Ashrei?
If you're tired.
Can you? Why not?
If you're tired.
I mean...
There's a kid in school who does Nefilas HaPaim 40 minutes every morning.
Can you?
I guess
I always said, your tachlon is inspiring. Before Shmuel Esrei, after Shmuel Esrei, first thing you do in the morning is your tachlon. We don't just do... I mean, can you? I'm saying, before...
So
we don't just do things, but can you before Az Yashar take 3 steps back and then bow every other word and that's not Judaism. You don't just do whatever you want. There's and we'll see. There's something as we saw in the beginning. There's a certain koach and a power in the Nefilas HaPaim. Presumably, you don't want to cheapen it by just doing it whenever you want.
More so than like bowing Korum. Because I thought that's supposed to be like something very symbolic.
Yeah, so I think that's going to be next year. I'm not exactly sure why we bow during those 3 parts. Right?
Right.
Well, four Magen parts. Magen Avraham, Modim, and the next bracha.
No, I'm talking about like
Atoshim.
Like Yom Ram, like full, you know, full.
Oh, is this more powerful than that? I don't know. I don't know what's more powerful, but we did see that Gemara, which was pretty intense with Rabbi Eliezer's wife.
Just a general question. Yep. So we're talking about the Tefillah Sepayim, also talking about Tachnun. Tachnun Monday, Thursday technically starts with Urachum,
right?
And the Tefillah Sepayim is Vayir Medavim.
Right.
Okay. So all these things that we're talking about now, I mean, is it one package deal, or is it possible you might do one, not the other?
You could do Tachnun without the Tefillah Sepayim, correct? There is a lot of literature on the history of Tachnun, and I started getting into it. It was very long, and it was a little dry. We could get to it again. But here we're talking about Nefilas Apayim, which is a halacha within Tachnun.
Okay.
Clearly, you're going to do Tachnun even if there's no Nefilas Apayim.
They do that in Yeshiva. When they don't mincha, they say Tachnun, but they don't.
Which Yeshiva?
Yeah, Rabbi Aron.
Why don't they do Nefilas Apayim?
Maybe there's a minion.
But they say Tachnun anyway.
Why don't they do Nefilas Apayim?
They do it in the classroom.
Oh, so they're not holding the Aruch HaShulchan.
Yeah.
Not anymore. Now they're in the base of Emerson.
Well, yeah, this week they're in the base of
Emerson. What about Hoshanot? I mean, I don't know if other mitzvot that you do it without a Sefer Torah, or if it's not required, if you do something just because it's there. Like Hoshanot, do we go if we don't have a Sefer Torah?
I believe so, yes. Why do we take the Sefer Torah out of the Aron for Hoshanos? I don't know.
But if we don't have it, we still do Hoshanot.
I'm pretty sure. Here it's only because the Pasuk says, Lefnei Aron Hashem. Now there's a wild, wild shita and a crazy story here. In source 18, there's an opinion that Rama Mipano, who says if you have a tzaddik who knows how to have the right kavanas, that takes the place of a sefer Torah. But not every guy who wants can say he's a tzaddik. No, we take we'll have shul nominations. But look what he says. Look, 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth line at the end of the line. Uvda me'anyenet muvat v'sefer ner Yisrael chelak dalad. There's a story. It's source 18 on page 4. Odos ha'admor of Yisrael mi'rizhin. The Rizhiner. There's also a famous Rebbe. Zechuso yagin aleinu. This is unbelievable. Pam, b'yosef b'derech, he was traveling. His palel in malav of b'yar. He davened in the forest with his chassidim, with his people. Va'achar chazar sashatz, his tapku im lomar tachnun lav. There's something where they should say tachnun. I don't know if he means with nefilas apayim or he means tachnun all. Amar lahem rabbeinu, Rebbe, the original Rebbe, Yisrael the original said, nu, ich bin doch da. Who knows Yiddish? Hare anikan, I'm here. Kolomar harini kisefer Torah. I'm like a sefer Torah. It's okay now. Is that arrogant? No. If you know, I'm saying that's not arrogance. Arrogance is not. If you know your talent, you know who you are. That's not necessarily arrogance. There's a Gemara in the end of Sota that says, who is it that they praise for his arrogance? Was it Hill? Amor, the end of Sota, one of the last mission in Sota, it praises Wadan Amoram for his humility. And then the Gemara says right afterwards, when such and such Tana died, humility left the world. He says, what are you talking about? I'm here. So everyone asks, that's the opposite. No, humility isn't saying if you're talented, you're not talented. Humility is knowing your talents, but knowing they come from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It always bothered me. You have guys in the base medrash. You would ask them a question like, yeah, I probably don't know. I'm like, I'm just asking you, like, what's the bracha on orange juice? I don't know. That's false humility. Humility isn't saying, I don't know my talents. Humility is saying it comes from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So I guess he was saying, you could say Tachlan, I'm like a Sefer Torah. Ich bin Dachda. Okay, so that's a shita which I never saw utilized, which is if you have a Talmud Chacham, a tzaddik, who's so in line with the Torah, which is not so crazy, by the way. We know there are halachas that a person is like a Sefer Torah. The Gemara says that if you witness a death, you have to tear kriya. Gemara has it in a couple places. Why do you have to tear kriya when you witness a death? Because it's like seeing a sefer Torah in Nisraf. A person is compared to a sefer Torah. So, I don't know. Okay, we'll skip. Rav Moshe has a tshuva about kids, whether kids less than 13 years old should do nefil sepayim if there's no sefer Torah there. It's interesting. But I want to get to... Yeah, so that didn't make it into the packet. That is a big question. In general, which hand should you lean on for tachanun? And it changes shachar's mincha. And let's say you're wearing short sleeves. And why is it a problem to put your head on your... These are all... Yeah. The awkward, like, pull the t-shirt down type of thing. Right. If you look in that picture, I sent that with Cam Newton. That's why he's wearing the wristband. I'm just pointing out. Did I put that in my... Okay. Fun. I wanna end with this really... Huh? Yeah. What we're trying to do over here. And this Rabbeinu Bechaya, it's unbelievable. Some of the themes are similar to what we've seen the last couple of weeks, but it puts Tachan in a different perspective. The Rabbeinu Bechaya is commenting on the Pasuk, which is the source, Moshe and Aaron, Vayiplu al Pneihem, and they dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Elokei Ruchos, L'chol Basar, Ha'ish Echad Yechotav, Al-Kol Ha'idah Titzof, Save Klal Yisrael. So says the Rabbeinu Bechaya, there's three kavanas in the Tefillah Sepayim. Number one, Lemora HaShechina. Be in awe of the Shechina. And if you look in source 21, the second paragraph, he explains, Kadesh is Labish B'zeh Boshes V'tznias Kikisu Yipanim Midarchei Ha'anava V'haboshes. When a person is embarrassed, when a person is scared, they hide their face. Hide their face. Oh my God, I can't. A person, lahavdil, a person's arrested. So I don't know if this is necessarily the best analogy, but they walk around, they have their head covered. There's a certain fear of maybe of people seeing you. Here there's an awe of the Shechina. We're about to engage in this Tachanun, which we saw as a tremendous koach. The end of Tachanun, certainly when we say, Vanachnu lo nida manasa. No, we don't have the Tefillah Sepayim for that. We don't even know what to do anymore, Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's all in your hands. So there's a certain Shechina that we're about to engage in, and we're a little bit scared, so we hide our face. That's one explanation. The second explanation says the Rabbeinu Bechaya, Hashenis, Laharos Tsar V'Hachna. There's a pain and a humility. Vehu ki hanofel alpanav mitztayer v'nichna. A person has a certain degree of pain. He can't look. He can't face the reality. And there's a humility. There's a certain degree of humility when we're covering our face. We're bending down and burying our head in our hand. V'hachna me'ikari hatshuva. Hachna is one of the primary principles of tshuva. If we want to really get close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, we have to recognize, who are we up with Hashem? So we just went through davening of Shemona Esrei, and we bracha after bracha, begging God for life and for everything, and then thanking God and realizing that we can't do anything without Him. So we exhibit that humility, that hachna, by putting our hands, our head in our hand. Vaz tfiloso mikubelas, v'chash baruch choshe shal tzairo, Umamala Shayla. So Kadosh Baruch Hu feels our pain and recognizes our humility, and he's more likely to answer our tefillah. That's the second explanation. And the third one, which I think is most beautiful, is Laharos Asiros Chushav Ubitul Hergeshosav. It's to show the binding of our senses and a nullification of our feelings. When you put our head in our hand, we can't see anything. It's like Shema. It's a different. There we're saying we can't see because we don't know what God's doing, as we spoke about. God does things we don't understand. We can't see, and still Shema Yisrael, Shalom Kenu, Shema Chad. Here we're saying I don't know what's about to happen to me. I'm totally vulnerable. Someone could come over and hit me. Someone could come over and pick my pocket. And I hope that's not happening while we're davening. But that feeling that it's supposed to evoke is I'm in a really vulnerable spot. Like, imagine going to Times Square Sunday night and doing that. Go to Times Square and just stand there with your eyes closed for 5 minutes. It's probably not such a good idea. You get run over, or maybe you'll get beaten, or you get pickpocketed. And no fell upon him. Mechasa einav is so same piv. Your eyes are covered and your mouth is closed. V'hu maskim b'machshavto she'ena roa nisko v'to'alto. I have no clue what's going on right now. I could be totally injured. Something could happen to me. I'm in a totally vulnerable state. I am totally reliant on you, Akash Baruch Hu. And that's why we put our head down. We can't see. Our eyes are closed. Our mouths are closed. And we're saying to Akash Baruch Hu is, we're totally, it's kind of like keeping feet together in Shemona Esrei. That was one of the reasons we saw that you can't really move around, right? Your legs are stiff like one, and try to hop around. It's you're not really in control. Here we're taking that to even a further degree, that we're just being mevatel, our guf, our feelings, our senses, and we're telling Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's all up to you. Ki'ilu on the third line, Hergeshosav, Betelos, Vasuros, Mimtso Chefso. It's not what I want right now. Veina, Vasvasav, Misusamim, Lo Yuchaliros, Lo Daber. I can't speak, I can't talk, I can't see. Oh, and he says it. I didn't realize this. Vizet Dugmas, Masha Maskim, Imliba, Bekivan Raglav, Betfila, Kila Raglav, Kivulim. It was the Rabbeinu Bechayas Pshat. That's why we keep our feet together. So that's what Tachanun, and maybe we'll have another one. A little bit more on what the actual Tachanun is about. But that's what we're trying to accomplish by doing the Filas Apayim. Again, number one, Mora Shechina. When we're in awe, we can't look. You know, some people, when their basketball team is down one with 3 seconds to go, and that's a line. So what do? I can't even look. I can't look. I can't look. I'm so nervous. I'm so scared. I can't see. So we're about to engage the Shechina. We're about to have this beautiful tefillah, which Aruch HaShulchan says is koach, is so great. It could pierce the heavens and bring about a Yeshua in a quicker fashion. So I'm scared. I can't see. I'm worried. I bare my hand. Second pshat is hachna, is humility. Who I'm going to stand up with my head held up high and proud, bare my hand. And the third pshat is I don't want to move. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm totally reliant on you. I'm totally in your hands. And then we're ready to say the Tachanun.
I'm not sure if you said it.
If anyone wants to be like the Zichitziver and not say Tachanun tomorrow, I don't know.
If you're in a short shirt, can you say it?